Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be with you today. My name is Eric, and it's an honor for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. I've been here to Grace Crossing a number of times to share with you, and it's always good to be back to see some old friends and meet some new ones. And sorry, my family could not be with me today. We've got my wife Jenny and I, we've got four kiddos, all here in the Houston area, a couple of them grown, a couple of them still in school. We are a foster and adoptive family, and we have a little one. So we actually have five right now, and she's a little bitty. And let's just say we're down in Sugar Land, so it's about an hour away. And so it was a little bit of a long drive for her to make her way here. And so they stayed home today, but they send their blessings with you. I'm so thankful for this church. And I love the theme that you've got going on right now. Christmas isn't canceled. And I'm so appreciative of Doug for inviting me to speak into the sermon series, because I really love Christmas. Always have. Since I was a little kid. Even now as an adult, I love and still get excited about Christmas. Now, when I was a little kid, I would get, a little overexcited about Christmas. In fact, I still remember one year, I was probably only maybe 4 or 5 years old, and it was the day before Christmas. You know, we were making all the preparations around the house, and I was just, you know, really getting excited about it. And I remember my mother coming to me and saying, you know, Eric, you probably ought to take a little nap. You know, today it's going to be a big day tomorrow. Why don't you just take a little rest time and take it easy? And I wasn't having it, you know, because I was so excited about Christmas. I mean, I had gone into weeks and weeks of planning for that big day just to make sure that, you know, I got the toys that I wanted. That was before I understood that Christmas wasn't all about me. But back in the day, Christmas was a little bit more challenging for kids. We didn't have Amazon, you know, wish lists or, you know, shopping online where you could pick out exactly what you wanted. No, for me, it was weeks and weeks of strategy. You know, I would gather up all those toy catalogs and just search through them for just the right gift, you know, and strategically leave them out for my parents, you know, maybe circling something, maybe writing a little note of instruction of what exactly I wanted. But I would get so excited about it. And when my mom told me, hey, you need to take a little rest time, I wasn't having it. In fact, when she asked me to go to my room and take a little nap, I ran the other way. I did not obey. In fact, I went to my favorite hiding spot around the house that she didn't know about, of course. And it was in our kind of front living room, and a room that we didn't go in a whole lot. There was kind of a round table, and it had a tablecloth over it that went all the way down. And I snuck right into that underneath that table, and I just hid there for a while. I could hear her calling me. I could hear her calling my name, but I wasn't going to make a sound. I was just going to wait right there. And I waited, and I waited. I'm sure my mother took some time to look for me occasionally, but she had a lot to do. We had family coming over the next day, and as she tells it, it was a little later on in the afternoon that she was doing some more decorating in that room, and she came in there, and she wondered where I was, and she peeked under that tablecloth, and there I was, asleep under the table. And as a good mother, she just left me right there, let me sleep for a little bit longer. Because more than anything else, what I needed when I was excited and what I was anxious is I needed some rest. And I don't know about you, but seems like today, in the world that we live in, it's a rare quality to find someone that has true peace. Now, in my work, in my job, each day I talk and visit with lots and lots of folks. I talk to some folks that are very busy. I talk to folks that have a lot going on in their lives. They have a lot of pressure. They have a lot of stress in their life. And I'll tell you, oftentimes when I'm meeting with people, they don't convey to me that they have a sense of peace in their life. They don't have peace with themselves. They don't have peace with this world around them. And they don't really have a sense of peace with God. And that's difficult to deal with, because peace is what we're supposed to be all about as followers of God. And it seems like it's a rare quality these days. And one of the reasons that we celebrate Christmas is because Jesus came to give us peace. Now, if you go ahead and open up your Bibles, we're going to begin in Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 9, as we talk about what it is to have God's peace in our life. Now, let me set the scene for you here in Isaiah. This is about 700 years before the first Christmas, and it was the prophet Isaiah who was prophesying about the Savior that would come to this world, and he would be called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For us to a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see, Isaiah, he was prophesying more than 700 years before Jesus came to this earth. And when Jesus did come on that night, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "The angels proclaimed and announced to the world, to some shepherds, they said, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who have his favor rest.'" So Isaiah was prophesying about the Prince of Peace coming. The angels were proclaiming about peace coming to earth. And then when Jesus did come to earth, his entire ministry was about sharing peace on earth. In fact, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says to his followers, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Did you hear that? Jesus says, "I am giving you peace. I offer you peace that's different than what the world has to offer. It's a kind of peace that is different than anything else. You can't find it in a bottle. You can't find it in a pill. You can't read it in a book or go through an experience to get that kind of peace. That kind of peace comes from having a relationship with God. That kind of peace only comes through Jesus Christ. You don't see it in the pictures that we post on our phones. Those are phony and those are fragile. But instead, the kind of peace that God offers us is something that doesn't cost us anything, but it will sustain us throughout our life. Now, I don't know how you have handled 2020. For everyone, we've all handled this global pandemic in different ways. For some of us, the fact that we've had to maybe shelter in place, maybe spend a little bit more time at home, cut out some of the busyness, for some of us, that's exactly what we needed. Just to slow down a little bit more and have a little bit more peace in our life. But I do know that for some of us, the added stress of the pandemic and the virus that is going around and not knowing how it affects our lives, it's added another level of stress. It's added another level maybe of financial uneasiness. Maybe it's brought up some fears in you that have kept you isolated. And maybe even brought on some loneliness. But maybe this year, more than any other year, you've allowed the culture of Christmas to cancel out any fears that you have and any peace in your life so that you are feeling maybe a little bit distant from God. So wherever you're at this morning, I want to encourage you, and I'm going to do this for myself as well, to ask myself, how am I in this year, in this Christmas season, and into the next year, how am I going to find that peace with God in my life? Because regardless of what 2021 has in store for us, God doesn't want us to go into another year with that extra burden of stress and anxiety and fear in our life. Instead, He wants to offer us peace. Now, did you know that there's more than 700 verses that speak about peace in the Bible? 700 verses. And when I first started thinking about this message, I thought, well, probably one of the best things we could do is just go ahead and just start reading some of those verses. Unfortunately, I'm a slow reader, and we'd probably be here till, you know, mid-afternoon. But certainly there's so many better things, better insights that Scripture has than what I can say to you. But I want to share a few of those Scriptures about God's peace with you this morning. And one of the things that I've discovered is that most of these verses on peace, they typically fall into one of three categories: either emotional peace, emotional peace, spiritual peace, or relational peace. You can pretty much read all of these and discover where they fall into place in these different areas of peace. And the first one I want to talk about is having peace with God. Now, I don't know about you, but when my relationships are misaligned, when they're out of whack, my life is not good. I mean, have you ever noticed that? When things aren't right with your spouse, when things aren't right with one of your friends, maybe you have a disagreement with somebody in your family, maybe you have some conflict at work, there's something that happens in our lives that is just unsettling. I mean, we're not at peace. It kind of steals our joy and robs that settling feeling that we have in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, God sent Jesus to make peace between himself and us. Now, for most of us, when we decide to go our own way, in other words, we know that the Bible says that when we ignore our instructions by God and we try to do things our own way, most often that results in sin in our life. And that puts us in conflict with God. And it's in those moments that we often feel distant from God. It's not that God has moved away from us. It's because of our rebellion. It's because of us doing things that aren't right that make us in conflict with God and make us feel distant from him. But thankfully, Romans chapter 5 says this. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. Now, one of the things about this verse that is so important to understand is that we have peace with God because of that relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's done with us. Peace with God doesn't come from anything that we do, but instead it has everything to do with what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Peace isn't something that we earn in our relationship. It's totally dependent on what Jesus has done for us. As Paul continues to write in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, he says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, if we're going to have true peace in our life, it begins with a relationship with God. When we're out of step in our relationship with God, we remain in a kind of a constant state of unrest. But when we humble ourselves, when we recognize the sin in our lives and we go to God and ask for forgiveness, that's when God's grace begins to work on our hearts. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking. He rescues those who are humbly sorry for their sins. You see, if we are going to have peace in this world, that begins with having peace with God. The second area of peace that I think the Bible often talks about is having peace with ourselves. You see, when we make peace with God, we have the opportunity for God to offer us the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So let me ask you, would you describe yourself as a person of peace? Would you describe yourself as a person that is not known for worrying, being anxious, being stressed out all the time. You know, I believe that our world needs people of peace. Now, like I said before, there's over 700 verses of Scripture that talk about the peace of God. And there's a peace for every one of our problems. Whatever keeps you up at night, there's a corresponding word of God that talks about receiving God's peace. For instance, for those with a broken heart, there is comforting peace. For those who have a confused heart, there is a peace of guidance. For those who are struggling with guilt and shame, there is a peace of forgiveness. And we could go through each one of those different areas of peace that God offers to us. But we have to understand that God has a peace for every problem. If you would, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. This is a scripture that is probably going to be very familiar to most of us. In fact, some of you will say, oh, I have that scripture memorized. But here's the question. Do you really know those words? Do you really believe the words that God has given to us? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God will transcend, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of different verses in the Bible that give some very specific commands to us. There's a lot of verses that give us a lot of insight for living, a lot of good instruction for living. And there's a lot of these verses that I can read them and I can check them off the list. You know what I mean? You know, I read through God's commands to us, you know, do not murder. Check. I got that one. You know, honor your father and mother. Check. Got that one. You know, don't put any other idols before God. Check. I can do that. Don't worry or be anxious about anything. What? Don't worry or be anxious about anything. I mean, I think this is one of the most challenging scriptures for each of us to understand and to live out each day of our life, because we are a people that worry. We are a people that get anxious about many things. To be honest with you, for most of my life, I really struggled with being anxious. I can't tell you the number of sleepless nights that I had where I laid awake for hours and hours wrestling with the problems of the day and already starting to worry about the problems that I might encounter tomorrow. But a little more than a decade ago, God did something in my life, and I'm so thankful that I don't struggle with worry and anxiety like I used to. And I'll tell you, if that is your struggle today, if you seem to be plagued with worry and anxiety, I hope you won't bear that burden alone. I hope you know that there's other people that are sitting right around you that want to help you bear some of those worries, bear some of that anxiety. For some of us, it's just a matter of talking to somebody and understanding maybe there's a different way that we need to be seeing some of the situations that are happening in our life. I hope that you'll rely on your brothers and sisters in Christ to help bear that burden, and they might offer some of that peace of God that they're experiencing into your life. And so three different ways that we kind of think about the peace of God. One is receiving that peace from God, one out of that relationship, but then we receive God's peace for ourselves. And then the third is finding peace with others. Well, a pretty simple principle that I discovered a long time ago is that the further I am away in my relationship with God, the more messed up my relationships are in my life. The further away I get from God, the worse I treat people around me. It's pretty simple. If you want to strengthen your marriage, you need to get closer to God. You see, when you get closer to God and your spouse gets closer to God, you can't help but grow closer together in your marriage. If you want to be a better friend, if you want to be a better student, if you want to be a better at your job, you know what you need to do? Get closer to God. It changes the relationships in your life. Isaiah 48, verse 18 says, if you only pay attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like waves of the sea. In other words, if we're at peace with God and if we're at peace with ourselves, when we're faced with challenges or those irritations that come up throughout the day, they won't sink our spirit. They won't rob our joy. They won't cause us to lose our peace. It's kind of like if you're, you know, carrying a cup of coffee. If you've filled that cup of coffee right up to the brim and somebody bumps into you, what's going to happen? You're going to spill that coffee all over your hand and you're going to make a big mess, right? But if we learn to pour ourselves out and instead fill ourselves with God's peace, when those little bumps and those little irritations come and come to us throughout our life, instead of spilling and making a mess of our relationships, instead we have the ability, because we're living in God's peace, to extend grace to those around us. So these kind of different areas of peace, they all begin with Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You see, that's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf to take away our sin, we have the opportunity to be at peace with God. And that leads to peace with others and even peace in our circumstances. You see, the way that works is the vertical peace that we have with God produces horizontal peace with others. It's that kind of peace with God because He is a wonderful counselor. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father, and He is the Prince of Peace. And that's what He wants for your life, and that's what He wants for mine. So let me ask a question to you this morning. Do you know that God is with you in every situation? I mean, ask yourself, how would your life look differently? Not just in the months or the year ahead, but how would your life look differently if you were honestly convinced that God is with you and you're never alone, that He's always been with you, working in both big ways and small ways, working in the good and the bad, working for your good and for His glory? How would your attitude stop? Or how would your attitude change if you stopped worrying so much about the little challenges of life and you faced each day believing that God, Emmanuel, that God is with you? I pray today that not just during this Advent season, not just as we prepare our hearts and our minds for the day of Christmas, but I pray that as we move into this new year, no matter what happens in 2021, you will remember that making your life, your relationship, and that vertical relationship with God has huge effects on those horizontal relationships that we have with others. It's that relationship that we have with God that gives us His peace so that we can share that with others. I hope and pray that this week, that you'll be able to offer peace to someone in your life. I pray that as you go about your business, whether that's at work or out in the community, that you'll be able to extend that kind of grace that our world so desperately needs today. Let me pray for us as we continue on. Our Father God, we come before you today humbly, and we ask that you would grant us peace in our life. Father, help us to see our problems and our worries as they really are, not as we see them, but instead that we would bring everything to you with prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, understanding, Father, that you are always with us. Father, I pray that we would not allow our culture and those around us, or even more, kind of the guilt and the shame that we sometimes put upon ourselves. Father, we pray that you wouldn't allow that to cancel our peace in our lives. Father, we ask that you would help us move closer and closer to you each day so that we can become people of peace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.